You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, Making the World.
Joe Biggs is out in front of the nightclub where 50-plus people were killed last night. Joe Biggs, great job getting up early this morning from Texas and getting on all those flights out there, and you're now in the rain. Joe Biggs.
Roger that. Joe Biggs here with InfoWars.com. Now, we just arrived in Orlando, and as you can see, there's a lot of police vehicles right here in the center of the road. The nightclub's actually right down to maybe about 50 so yards from us at this point in time. You know, what we're seeing right now so far, as I'm reading through articles on the flight here, is everyone's wanting to attack the Second Amendment. What happens, though, if we take those guns away? What's going to happen? These guys are going to build bombs.
I can't believe we even have to argue with these people.
But stop attacking American freedom.
He
had a vest on. Guess what? If he would have had a bomb and it would have went off, that would have been way more people, like 200 people. Instead, I'm sitting here driving through Orlando, listening to everyone apologize how we need to not blame Muslims for this. We don't need to blame.
Sure, Pulse was a gun-free zone.
We're too scared to call this what it is, radical Islam. We have a problem. The borders are wide open. We have a president that could care less about the American people. Christianity is being attacked. American values are being attacked. Men in America are being attacked. And we're allowing these terrorists to come in here. And now we have sleeper cells starting to wake up. They're being activated. We almost had another attack, a large one in L.A. at another gay pride parade today as well. So this is going to continue happening. I heard some of the things Tim said earlier before I got on the flight to leave Austin to come here. And he said he believes it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I do agree with that from the things I've seen and how these people are, because we don't have secure borders.
Sure. And by the way, Rob Jacobson's there running camera, doing a great job as well. Rob, feel free to pan around, zoom in while Joe's talking for TV viewers. Radio listeners, go to InfoWars.com/show. Sure. Great job, guys. Yeah, just show more what we got on the street. Pan around. Let's try to zoom in on the nightclub. Please continue. And jump with any questions, Tim.
I think a key point that Biggs just brought up, both the guy in Orlando and the guy in Los Angeles, they both had bombs. Those were not guns that they bought. They had bombs, both of which would have been more lethal than the guns that they had. The guns were a secondary plan.
And they're both also, I think you guys can probably go through the line and go on up to the media. Your press. Also, we have to expand on this, Joe. These people are registered Democrats. These are liberals. These are people that are allied with Islam, so these guys are liberals as well. They're Democrats. And then they strike at their very bosom of the people that are trying to aid them and help them, showing the cowardice, Tim.
Yeah. I mean, it's so despicable. Like, you can't even process. Like, so they killed the unarmed people at the nightclub that were primarily gay, that have been trying to support them for the past 3-4 years and facilitate their movement as immigrants here and saying, hey, we have like fights here. You know, we have similar causes. We're both prejudiced. We're both
and they stab him in the back. Joe Biggs, I hear you trying to jump in. Great point, Tim. And by the way, breaking news, just what Tim was what we were talking about earlier from my source that Tim was confirming, 8 people on a ISIS Orlando kill list. And of course, the FBI has told you you're on that kill list. Joe Biggs, please continue.
Well, one of the interesting things is we're being told continuously that this is a religion of peace, that we need to be understanding of what's going on, that we should, in fact, apologize because this attack is our fault, because these guys have to grow up in such a hateful environment because Islamophobia exists, and that's why this happened. No, this guy hated homosexuals. The entire religion hates homosexuals. And guess what happened? This guy saw 2 guys kiss. It flipped his lid, and he went out and carried this out. He took advantage of the fact that he had the security clearance. He went and got guns. Like you said, if that bomb would have went off, it would have been 10 times worse. And they would have still gone. The whole left would have been like, well, you know, we need to be more progressive. We shouldn't blame him. And then they bring some.
Sure, that's his dad's cover story. He knows the whole deal. The guy pledged allegiance to ISIS.
The dad is to blame. The dad should be held accountable for his son's actions because he knew what the hell was going on. That guy knew that his son was radicalized.
I said the same thing.
Much like the father in San Bernardino. Just like the.
And I'll tell you who else. Obama and the Democrats letting these people in and the Republican leadership doing it too. What's going to happen when there's hundreds of attacks, Tim and Joe? They're not going to be able to spend this forever.
So we see a reoccurring theme here, right? We have 2 shooters, 2 different instances, both West Coast, East Coast, both both on lists from the CIA and the FBI as being cause for concern, right? But the, years later, now 2 years later, they were able to execute their plan and then kill America.
Sure, just like Major Hassan. Joe, you're doing a great job. File more reports. We'll put them to InfoWars.com. Everything we're doing is going viral right now, but report there from the nightclub. We're out of time. Thank you so much, Joe, and, of course, Rob Jacobson. Any other points in the 30 seconds we have left?
Just the fact that we need to open up and call this what it is. You know, this is radical Islam. People need to be vigilant. People need to watch your backs. Just because you watch these interviews, everyone goes, well, he seemed like such a nice guy. Well, they all do until something happens. There's a war going on right now. These guys are activated, and we need to be on alert.
Absolutely. Well, great job. Get in there with the reporters. Find out what you can. We'll look for those reports.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio. Well, there you heard it, folks. We're talking, and we're going to be most of the day on this Orlando incident, the terror in Orlando, because everybody's talking about it. Everybody's reporting it. So I want to talk about it for a little while on the George Wilder Jr. Show, if not the entire show, because this is horrendous. This is just another terrorist act. I mean, we just had San Bernardino. We just had the Paris attacks. And we think about Sandy Hook. We think about all of the school shootings, the school massacres. We think about 9/11. We think about all these things. And you try to tell yourself, excuse me, folks, you try to tell yourself, hasn't America learned anything from those attacks? You know, have America learned anything? Apparently not. We just had this a horrific thing in Orlando, this gay bar. This guy was, he didn't like gays, or he was radicalized. He was on the terrorist FBI, CIA watch list, and somehow they let him go. And he went out and bought guns, and he started spraying a nightclub of gay people, and 50 people perished, including himself, 53 people injured. And they're still counting the bodies as I'm talking on the radio here. Internet radio. America dropped the ball on this, folks. And like I've said many times in my tweets and my posting on Facebook, America fell asleep, was caught sleeping again. Again, we were caught sleeping. What happened, Homeland Security? What happened, President Obama? Why can't you guys figure out how to protect the people of this country? That's one of your damn jobs, is to protect American lives. You're not doing it. I mean, anytime the FBI, the CIA is watching and interviewing and interrogating this suspect, I'm not going to call his name because I don't want to give him any kind of publicity. I don't want to give him any sort of notoriety for this. It ain't going to happen on the George Wilder Jr. Show. But still in all, they had this guy in their grips, and they let him go. And this is not the first time U.S. authorities has had a mass killer in their custody and let them go. Or they fail to see the signs of some guy with a mental illness before he decides to go and gun people down, blow people up. They knew about this guy. It's all over. The reports are everywhere. They knew about this guy. You know, and they let this – they dropped the ball on the FBI, CIA, the White House. They all dropped the ball on this. If they'd have been vigilant like they were supposed to be, like what they get paid to, this would have never happened. This would have never happened. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And some of the parents of some of the victims of the shootings at this gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, they're pissed off because the SWAT teams took hours before they stormed the nightclub. Hours. How do you do that? How do you wait hours before you storm a place where some terrorist wannabe is gunning down people in straight succession? How do you wait 3 hours before you go in? He just murdered everybody in there, and you're going to stand back and not do anything and watch and listen? Another incident where the authorities dropped the ball on this. They had him in custody. They let him go. They waited 2 or 3 hours before they stormed the place to take this guy out. And during those 2 or 3 hours, a lot of these victims were laying on the floor bleeding. Maybe there could have been a lot more lives saved if the SWAT teams, the FBI, the police officers all stormed the building the minute they got on the scene. The minute they arrived on the scene, they should have went in. Lives would have been saved, but they held back and waited 3 hours before they went inside to apprehend this guy or kill this guy. During that time of the wait, he was shooting people like hell, killing people like hell, and the police officers were waiting behind their vehicles. And there was gunfight. There was a gunfight with the guy. They finally got him. But, you know, there are so many unanswered questions here. And the FBI is spinning this like I don't know what, to why they did not hold on to this guy who was radicalized in the United States. He was an American, from my understanding, he was an American citizen, born in the United States, parents of Muslims. His parents were Muslims. And he had a problem with, it seems, gay people. Okay? He has a problem with gay people. I've known some gay people during my lifetime, and they were some of the most wonderful people. I'm not gay. Don't get me wrong. I never have been gay. But I've had gay friends, and I'm totally proud of that. Proud of that. I don't condone the gay lifestyle, but they are some of them. I'm not going to say all, but I'm going to say some. At least the ones that I have encountered during my lifetime were wonderful people. Straight up people, great people. But the FBI, the CIA, and Obama, the White House, they dropped the ball on this. Don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not blaming Obama. I'm not blaming him at all on this. I'm blaming the people who work for him. The people who work under him screwed this up. So if the people worked under him screwed this up, then you have to look at him. Say, wow, they work for you, Obama. If they screwed up, then you screwed up. Okay, but there's a lot of people out here, actually, especially Fox News. I mean, they're tearing Obama apart on this thing, which I think is totally unfair. But this is Fox News. What else can you expect from Lion Fox News? Okay, but there's no doubt about it. They dropped the ball on this, like so many other terrorist incidents before this in the United States. The ball was dropped. And you would think after all of these terrorist attacks around the world, United States would have had their act together when it comes to protecting Americans against this kind of thing. They did not. I remember after the Paris attacks, United States Obama was saying that this could not happen here because they was ready for it. They would intercept any kind of terrorist threat on U.S. soil. They were not ready for it. That was just something that that was just something they threw out at the public. They were not ready for this. You know, I mean, Obama gave all kinds of speech. We are ready for it. I mean, Homeland Security, these guys were all on television. It's not going to happen here because we are ready for it. We have contingencies and we have plans in place to stop another terrorist attack in the United States. That was just a bunch of bull. That was just a bunch of bull. A lot of questions remain unanswered to why they waited, the SWAT teams, the police officers, and everybody else waited so long to storm that nightclub, the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, why they waited so long to storm it and take this guy out. During that wait, this guy was shooting people like hell, and the police were sitting back hearing the shots and doing nothing for a while. Somebody's head needs to roll because of this. You know, so this is just horrific. This is just horrific. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, reporting and broadcasting from the city of Chicago, out of the state of Illinois. And there is so much news going on today, folks. I don't know. My head is starting to spin. But anyway, I am angry at this. I'm angry at because the United States dropped the ball. And Donald Trump is out here saying, wow. What is he saying? He's saying that he's congratulating himself because he was right about banning Muslims from the United States. I don't know about all of that, okay? Donald Trump is a total liar. For one thing, he lied about – he said that people were congratulating him. He was right about wanting to ban Muslims from entering the United States. Let me tell you something, Donald Trump. Muslims are already in the United States, okay? They're already here. So you can ban as many as you want to stop from coming here, but they're already here. Just like this guy who murdered all these people in Florida. He's already here. And they, like I said before, I was right, folks. If you've been listening to this, I was right. I was saying that everybody was saying, well, we got to keep Muslims out. We got to keep refugees out. We got to keep all these people out. And I'm saying, you know, I'm telling my audience, and I'm saying they're already here. You can't keep them out. They're already here. They're just waiting. These are my words. They are just waiting for the right times to pounce on Americans. They're already here. You keep saying you're going to try and keep them out. Keep who out? What out? Muslims are all over the United States, and a lot of them are here legally. They're citizens, and a lot of them are citizens being radicalized by ISIS, the terrorist group of Syria, Baghdad, and just about all over the Middle East, ISIS. Okay? They're already here. So I've said this before. There will be another attack because they're here. I knew they were here, and I'm pretty sure President Obama knows that. From what I'm hearing, Obama wants, as of today, Obama wants at least 4,000, over 4,000 more refugees to come into the country, even after this horrendous attack. And my answer would be, hell no. You can't do that so soon after the bodies aren't even warm. Asking more refugees into the United States without knowing who they really are? I don't know. I know he has a heart, but he's got to realize something. The United States, the world is under attack. You are here to protect people. You know, you are here to protect people. We cannot take these people in. I'm not racist. I'm not being unsympathetic, but I'm thinking about what just took place, what just occurred. No way, Obama. If you want them to come into the United States, let them go live with you. And Hillary Clinton is calling for she's calling for gun control. Now that's a no. Now that's a non-starter. For once, every time you put out there gun control, more people go out and buy guns. Anytime you tell people you're going to take their guns away, they're going to make sure they're going to stack up on more guns. So that was kind of wrong for her to say that. Maybe someone would tell her that in her entourage. Someone would probably tell her that. Maybe she knows it. You know, but you cannot take away people's guns because you're going to scare people. And if you scare them, they're going to go out and buy more guns. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Show on Black Talk Radio. And we're talking about the Orlando ordeal, which is atrocious. And earlier, Donald Trump says Obama may be sympathetic to Islamic terrorism. That's totally false. Obama has killed, slaughtered more terrorists than any president in the United States. He is not sympathetic to them. He has blood on his hands. And Donald Trump calls for the president to resign. I don't know. This guy is really way off base on this. I admit Obama's not the greatest president. He's not the best. Sometimes I have problems with him, but I have more problems with Donald Trump than I do with President Obama. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio. All right, folks, let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Wilder. Yes, thank you again, sir. I am not willing to ascribe one single good motive to this freak in the White House. Yes, I said freak, and I meant it. I think he is malevolent, depraved, and anti-American. I don't think there's one good motive.
Who are you talking about?
I'm Barack Hussein Obama. Him. And I don't think he has one single good intention for this country, its founding traditions, its constitution, or its people. He has utter contempt at best for all of them. And when it comes to being sympathetic to terrorists and Muslims, he's not a religious Muslim. Make no mistake about it. Because every single thing that Muslims hold dear, at least on a cultural basis, he is for. Everything they're against culturally, he is for. But politically, he is a Muslim. He said so in his book, The Audacity of Hope. He said he was who he would stand for if the winds turned against them in an ugly direction. He let us know. We already know who this man is. I know who he is. I've been studying since 1994. I know what this guy is. He doesn't mean this country any good. And as for the claim that he killed more terrorists than anybody else, that is factually not true. In absolute numbers, we were killing far more terrorists when we still had American soldiers in the Middle East. I'm talking about combat units. We were killing more terrorists. I was there. I was one of the troops killing them.
Shout, sir. You don't have to shout.
I'm not shouting, sir. I'm not shouting. I'm emphatically stating. So it's physically not true. He is killing a few leaders. He's making desultory attacks on some of the leadership. But unfortunately, that's not coupled with a ground offensive against the bulk of the troops on the ground, which is the way an effective strategy would be combined. You decapitate the leadership, and you simultaneously combine it with an assault on the main body of their forces. He doesn't do that. He just has a few drone strikes, and that's it. And he tells everybody how he's killing terrorists and how he's very good at doing that. Pats himself on the back for it. Sir, that's no strategy. That's not the way you conduct a military campaign. Not if you're serious about winning. It's like Vietnam. Same kind of stupidity. So, this guy doesn't mean it.
Obviously, you're Donald Trump voter.
Sir, I'm not crazy about Donald Trump. He is not my first, second, third, fourth, or fifth choice.
Neither am I. But
given a choice between Hillary, the Stalinist criminal, Clinton, and Barack and Donald Trump, there's not even a hesitation, microsecond of hesitation as to who I'm going to vote for, and it will be Trump. There's absolutely no decision if those are the stark choices with which I am faced. So, yes, I will be for Trump in that regard. But Barack Obama is not just a disaster. He's not. He actually spells signally the end of the Constitutional Republic, and his successor, Hillary the Stalinist, will continue it to its doom and its destruction. And still, there's nothing more a continuation of this dummy's policy. The only thing I can say for her is that she at least can use the word, now today at least she will say, the phrase radical Islamic terrorism, which the big freak in the White House can't even seem to bring himself to do. He can't even utter the words. He stutters like he usually does.
I've heard that. And, it's pitiful. It's pitiful.
It's pitiful. It's worse than
that. Okay.
Look. What we're looking at here is we're looking at posturing. That's what he does. He postures on everything. Everything. I mean, like you just said a little while ago, these poor people's bodies weren't even chilled yet. They were still warm. And the first thing he talks about essentially in his speech, what gets him wee-weed up? Remember we used that term, wee-weed up? This is what gets Barack Obama wee-weed up, gun control. And I mean gun control to the point of abolition of certain types of firearms in particular, particularly the AR-15. Now, not too long ago, it was the AK-47. They were all hopped up about the AK-47. Now, all of a sudden, we didn't got hopped up on the AR-15. I mean, Hillary Clinton, I watched her speech today at that ballistic armor manufacturer. The one applause lines that got her the biggest applause and got everybody all upset was the talk about gun control. They stood up and applauded on that one. And she paused to soak in the applause. It's clear what their priorities are. There's not even a question about it. The other things about terrorism were met with desultory applause and light approval, but the gun control, man, they were out of their seats. People are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I always say every time someone mentions gun control, Americans get scared and they go out and buy more guns. They go out and load up on.
Yeah, but George? Hello? George? Hello?
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Joe Biggs is out in front of the nightclub where 50-plus people were killed last night. Joe Biggs, great job getting up early this morning from Texas and getting on all those flights out there. You're now in the rain. Joe Biggs.
Roger that. Joe Biggs here with Infowars.com. Now, we just arrived in Orlando, and as you can see, there's a lot of police vehicles right here in the center of the road. The nightclub's actually right down to maybe about 50-so yards from us at this point in time. You know, what we're seeing right now so far, is that, as I'm reading through articles on the flight here, is everyone's wanting to attack the Second Amendment. What happens, though, if we take those guns away? What's going to happen? These guys are going to build bombs.
I can't believe we even have to argue with these people.
But,
stop
but
attacking American freedom.
This guy had a vest on. Guess what? If he would have had a bomb and it would have went off, that would have been way more people, like 200 people. Instead, I'm sitting here driving through Orlando, listening to everyone apologize how we need to not blame Muslims for this. We don't need to blame.
Sure, Pulse was a gun-free zone.
We're too scared to call this what it is, radical Islam. We have a problem. The borders are wide open. We have a president that could care less about the American people. Christianity is being attacked. American values are being attacked. Men in America are being attacked. And we're allowing these terrorists to come in here. And now we have sleeper cells starting to wake up. They're being activated. We almost had another attack, a large one in L.A. at another gay pride parade today as well. So this is going to continue happening. I heard some of the things Tim said earlier before I got on the flight to leave Austin to come here. And he said he believes it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I do agree with that from the things I've seen and how these people are, because we don't have secure borders.
Sure. And by the way, Rob Jacobson's there running camera, doing a great job as well. Rob, feel free to pan around, zoom in while Joe's talking for TV viewers. Radio listeners, go to Infowars.com/show. Sure. Great job, guys. Yeah, just show more what we got on the street. Pan around. Let's try to zoom in on the nightclub. Please continue and jump in with any questions, Tim.
I think a key point that Biggs just brought up, both the guy in Orlando and the guy in Los Angeles, they both had bombs. Those were not guns that they bought. They had bombs, both of which would have been more lethal than the guns that they had. The guns were a secondary plan.
And they're both also, I think you guys can probably go through the line and go on to the media. Your press. Also, we have to expand on this, Joe. These people are registered Democrats. These are liberals. These are people that are allied with Islam. So these guys are liberals as well. They're Democrats.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All right, folks, we're having some technical difficulty in the city of Chicago. I'm sorry for callers and guests. We're having some this happens once in a while, okay? It happens, and things go haywire right in the middle of an interview or right in the middle of a call. It happens, and I apologize. I totally apologize. We're having some construction next door, so that may be interfering with the connection here. So I'm warning you. I'm warning you. We could get cut off, or there'd be some static or skipping or something because there's construction next door. I'm trying to, hey, quiet it down over there. You're interfering with the show. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Let's go back to the phones. And I do apologize for the interruption. I do apologize for the technical difficulties of the show today. We do have some people working next door using chainsaws and hammers and stuff like that. Sometimes that, like I said, sometimes that interferes with the show. All right, let's go back to the phones.
Hello.
All right, sorry about the interruptions there. Go right ahead.
Yeah, my name is Miriam Goodman.
Miriam Goodman.
I'm a guest on your show today.
You are. I got you. Don't you see your name on the website there?
No, I don't. I didn't know I was supposed to do that.
Yeah, your name is right there, author. Yeah, author Marion Goodman on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, all right.
Okay.
But basically, earlier I was talking about the Orlando massacre because, you know, that's what everybody's talking about and stuff like that. You're here to talk about your book, Too Much Togetherness. Okay,
That's what we're talking about.
Go. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. All right, give my audience a little something about yourself and talk about your book.
Okay, my name is Miriam Goodman. I'm the author of Too Much Togetherness, Surviving Retirement as a Couple. And I wrote this book because I saw that people I knew who were getting ready to retire, baby boomers, who were getting ready to retire, always want to do things their own way. They don't want to say this is not my father's retirement, basically. And that there were no guidelines. Nobody knew exactly what to do. And all of a sudden these couples are thrown together 24 hours a day. And not that they don't want to be together, but it's so different from the earlier part of their lives where they had jobs and families and other responsibilities. And all of a sudden they're plunked down together. And it's as if they have to get to know each other again and get to know the different ways of handling issues. And it turns out to be a big problem. So that's why I wrote the book.
Oh, wow. I haven't read any parts of the book so far yet. I'm pretty sure it's a good book. But I do have a lot of friends who are retired. And what kind of advice you can give someone who's retired and feel as though it's not? Let's say if someone's retired and they want to get back into the workforce, would they do that?
Well, that's a big problem. I've heard people say, I flunked retirement the first time. You know, that's the way they feel. If they were retired and they want to get back into the workplace, it becomes a problem because employers have to be kind of retrained and make themselves available to the older worker. You know, so many of them don't want older people because they have to pay them more because, of course, we're experienced and educated and have all the wisdom that comes from working all these years, as opposed to a new person who you can pay less and kind of train them as they go along. The other thing is that people do slow down a bit mentally, physically, and if they want to go back to work, maybe they want to go back 3 days a week.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk
Radio. Not
the
5 days a week.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We are having some technical difficulties.
Sounds like it.
Yeah,
hello?
I mean, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're having something. We got somebody working next door, and it is interfering with the connection. So if you can start mm-hmm. again, it'll be fine.
Okay.
It happens. It happens. What can I say? And I apologize to all the listeners out there. Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Miriam Goodman. I'm the author of Too Much Togetherness, Surviving Retirement as a Couple. And I wrote the book because I found that many people I knew and many people I talked to weren't prepared for retirement emotionally. The financial thing they had taken care of. They knew what they had to do. They had saved money. They had pensions. They had Social Security, whatever it was. But they hadn't thought about the emotional and psychological effect of not having a job to go to every day. Who am
yeah.
I if I'm not
yeah.
my profession? You know, how do I relate to other people? Do people dismiss me? Am I invisible because I'm not going to work? And it's very hard on people. It's harder on men than it is for women because I found that women are great at multitasking. We've always been able to work and raise kids and be in the home and volunteer and have time for our friends and maybe even time to go to the gym, whereas men, by and large, work. And they count on their wives to make their social arrangements for them.
You know, there are some people who actually retire but feel guilty about it.
Oh, absolutely. I think people of both sexes feel guilty about it. You know, one woman said, mm-hmm. oh, if I go to the shopping in the middle of the day, I feel like people are staring at me like saying, you're fit enough to be at work. What are you doing here? I suppose it's the way what happened back in World War II or something when someone didn't go in the army and they had some kind of invisible illness that kept them from the army and everybody's looking at them like there's something wrong with him. But yeah, no, people are embarrassed about being retired. They're embarrassed about not contributing. And of course, my advice is always go contribute. You know, all the problems of the world have not been solved.
Exactly.
So
volunteer.
Do. Right. Volunteer. Absolutely. I think it's an important thing. But it's really important.
Yeah, volunteer
about the transition. The transition is the hardest part. Going from being a person who works to being a person who doesn't work is a very bumpy ride for a lot of people. And it affects the relationship of a husband and wife or, you know, two people together in any kind of relationship. It's because we don't have this conversation. That's the main thing. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah, I do think.
A husband saying, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say sometimes depression and worthlessness can set in. You know, you're in a house, and there's nothing, you know, there's nobody knocking on your door and all that kind of thing. But I would like to say to people who are thinking about retiring, I mean, there's always, you don't have to actually retire to retire. I mean, retire to do something good, you know.
Right. I always say you have to retire
productive.
To something, not from something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You have to retire to something. But, you know, the thing is, people retire to something and then they think that that's more valuable than what their partner might be doing. I mean, my favorite example is I talked to a guy and he said, you know, I don't have time to read your book. Give me 100 words and tell me what it's about. I said, well, the first thing you have to think is if you and your wife are both retired, whatever it is that you have to do is no more important than what she has to do. And he said, what do you mean? Of course what I have to do is more important. You know, that was his first reaction. But I think of it in terms of, let's say she's gone off to have lunch with some friends and he's gone off to play golf and somebody's got to go pick up food for dinner. So his reaction might be, well, you're doing is not important. You have time. You have time to pick up something for dinner. And she might have the same reaction. Oh, your thing is not important. So you have to start out right away communicating, okay, this is what I choose to do in my retirement. Mine is just as important as yours. Maybe you're down there teaching kids to read or working in a soup kitchen, and I'm playing golf, but let's say that this is our choice and things are equal. We're not judging which is more important. I think that's very important. The other thing is that you sort of look at your roles differently. You know, I have heard, and this is kind of surprising because I'm a feminist and grew up in, you know, in an era where fathers and husbands were very much a part of the child rearing and helping in the house and doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
So many women say, you know, my husband was there. He took the kids to school. He cooked 3 days a week. Now that he's retired, he wants me to wait on him, you know, because I'm not going off to work. He thinks I should make all the meals. I should do all the cooking. I should do all the shopping. And he just wants to be waited on. And she said, what happened to him? Where did he get this idea? So the whole thing is about having a conversation, trying to establish what it is you want to do alone and what it is you want to do together. Because, George, you can't believe it. Nobody is going to say to their spouse, I love you, honey, but I don't want to spend 24 hours a day with you. Are you there?
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
Yeah, thanks, folks, for sticking around. Thanks for dealing with me. We've been having some technical difficulties on the show. I'm sorry about for my guests. I'm sorry for callers who are calling in and being disrupted by some construction going on next door. Most people are okay about it. Some people get pissed off about it. There's nothing I can do. But hopefully that we'll try to give you a nice, a well-round quality show every time on this show. There is some problems also with Skype, and there may be some problems with calling in today for some reason. Everybody's fixing something or doing something that has to do with the show. I think the station is also constructing and having issues that's permeating throughout Black Talk Radio. So, you know, if we and out and all this kind of thing, and just hang in there until the show is over, and we're going to try and get through this as smooth as possible as we can. We are having difficulties. There's no doubt about it. It happens. It happens to the best of us. It happens to internet radio. It happens to broadcast radio. It happens to television. It happens to the newscast. It happens to me. Okay, so I hope you understand. It every once in a while, this kind of thing happens. You know, it doesn't happen often, but out of the blue, it happens. Whenever I'm excited about doing a show and I've got guests, I've got people, and I've got great topics, something happens, you know. The technical difficulties, the internet goes down, and, you know, bluey. Okay, so I apologize. I keep apologizing, and because I feel that I have to. I don't want to let my listeners down, my callers or my guests down, and I apologize to everybody. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. We were talking about Donald Trump. Says Obama may be sympathetic to Islam terrorism. Maybe. But Donald Trump says a lot of things I don't agree with. Donald Trump is a person I don't agree with. Donald Trump is someone I will never vote for president. Okay, Donald Trump calls on the president to resign. I don't think that's going to happen. He's going to be out of office in January. So, hey, let him stay. He peddles discredited, quote, good guy with a gun myth, provokes Washington Post press credentials by reporting the news. All right, Trump is a fearmonger Republican. I'm reading this, folks. So I'm reading it off the internet. And, I don't have to read too much about Trump. I mean, he's basking in the glow that he was right about Muslim terrorists. He's basking in that glow, folks. He's feeling good about himself, saying, I was right. But you know what? I too want to ban Muslims. I mean, I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my thoughts on Muslims. I mean, after this incident, I said, hey, wow, keep them out of the country. Keep them out of the, you know, and this is, I mean, sometimes a few bad Muslims could mess up the whole pot. A few bad Muslims will ruin a lot of other good Muslims. And that's the way things happen. You know, now the United States,
are watching Muslims mosque around the country, you know, because they have been threatened. You know, they have been threatened. I mean, hey, wow, what can I say? The only people who blows up planes are Muslims, okay? The only people who fly planes into tall buildings are Muslims. The terrorists. And like I said before, the Muslims, the bad guys are here. They are here. We don't have to bring more people into the country. The bad guys are here, and they are still plotting. This is what I said when I tweeted. This is not over. This is just the start. I mean, and Obama administration has to deal with this. This is not over. These people are not done. There are so many people in the United States, Muslims, American Muslims, who are being radicalized by ISIS terrorists. There's no doubt about that. And this is not over. America, we have open borders, folks. Our borders are not secured, and Obama doesn't seem to give a damn about that. Anybody can come over the border, climb a fence or something. And then he's inviting over 400 more Muslims into the country. 4,700 Muslims, refugees into the country because he wants them here. Are you blind? Deaf, blind? Haven't you realized what just happened? Why would you want to take in, you know, they're calling them women, children, families. Women, children, and families. These people are capable of tacking on suicide vests and blowing up places in the United States. So what if there are women? Yeah, I sympathize with them. I love them, but I cannot trust them. Obama says, well, they're gonna, each one of them gonna be vetted and gonna be checked out. Oh, please. Anybody can get past that. Anybody can fake, can act their way into the United States and then bomb everything. I'm not saying for people to fear or to live in fear. No, we don't do that. We go about our daily lives. We don't let the terrorists scare the hell out of us. But we have to think in reality. We have to be real. We have to be sensitive. We have to be intelligent about this. We don't want to live in fear, but we don't want our country flooded with refugees from Middle East countries where there are probably ISIS sympathizers. We can't get this through Obama. We just can't get this through him. He'll be out of office in 2017. Hopefully Trump will not be in office. Trump is too extreme. This guy is just, he goes off the deep end. Okay, he told a news outlet that tens of thousands of people have tweeted him saying that he was correct about banning Muslims in the United States. I may have mentioned this, but it's worth mentioning again. He tweeted that I'm so startled I can't even say it. These are his words. Tens of thousands of people have tweeted him saying that he was correct on his statement of wanting to ban Muslims from the United States, and that's what he's going to do. There have been people who have researched what he said, and they say, this is prominent news outlets, say that they did not find tens of thousands of people tweeting Trump, congratulating him on that he was correct on banning Muslims from the United States. These news outlets, MSNBC, Channel 5, said that they only found 4 tweets during their investigation of this. This is just another reason to say Trump is one of the biggest liars that ever walked the earth. This man lies. He wants to build himself up to be the best, the greatest. And during all of that time, he's actually making things worse for himself. Wow, this guy is something. He is something. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Black Talk Radio. Follow me right here. I want to apologize again to my guests, to my callers, 347-857-1762. We've had a lot of difficulty doing the radio show today, and hopefully we can get out of this thing totally unscathed, but it happens, folks. I apologize. I'll say that again. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here. And follow me all over the place. I'm on Google, LinkedIn. LinkedIn, when I think about LinkedIn, it brings up something that I've heard today, earlier today, that Facebook is going to buy LinkedIn. Facebook is buying up everything on the internet. I mean, Facebook and Microsoft, right? They're buying up everything on the internet. They're going to own the whole enchilada pretty soon. You know, they're buying up LinkedIn. I think Facebook already owns Instagram, Skype, if my research is correct. But they are actually buying up and buying out everything there is. Sooner or later, everything is going to be nothing but Facebook and Microsoft, you know, they're going to own everything. They're going to have they're going to own us. What can I say? All right, you're now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's go down here. If there is something, okay, report. Trump accused of routinely destroying email evidence in 2006. I totally believe that. I think Trump is a scoundrel. This guy is a total scoundrel. And I don't think he would ever be president of the United States, even though I kind of support his Muslim ban, especially after this Orlando ordeal. I kind of support it, and I do support not bringing refugees into the country so soon after this massacre. I mean, the bodies haven't even gotten warm. He wants more people into the country, more refugees from Syria, Baghdad, and some of these other war-torn Middle Eastern countries, and that should not be. I mean, give me a break, Obama. You're not the greatest president of the United States, and there's so many people who think he is. So many people think his face should be put on Mount Rushmore. No. I've always had a beef with Obama, because of some of the things he's done and some of the things he hasn't done and some of the things he's just a bunch of talk. I think he's a lot of deal. Hasn't seated this Supreme Court nominee. He still hasn't, put it this way, he still hasn't filled a vacancy on the Supreme Court. It's still 8-8. 4 Democrats, 4 Republicans. There's no tiebreaker, nothing, you know. So he still hasn't filled that vacancy on the Supreme Court, and I'm disappointed at that. And you just can't keep blaming the Republicans, okay, for holding him up. Obama has executive power. He can do it through executive power, but he doesn't want to do that because he wants to compromise. Obama doesn't like to do things easy. He likes it to be tough and hard, you know. So he doesn't too much like using his executive powers. And so many people are disappointed in Obama, and there's those people who are. But his poll numbers are high. I don't know. I don't understand why. I guess these are a lot of people who are giving him high fives are people probably not of African American descent, because he's been a total failure as far as I'm concerned with African Americans. Oh, boy, I'm even screwing up. Okay, you're now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back, folks. We're going to take a break right here. We'll be right back.
are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All right, folks, I just got through talking about Obama. Obama has failed. Homeland Security has failed. CIA has failed. Those who protect us, the United States citizens, have failed. They had this guy. I'm not going to mention his name. I don't want to give him any notoriety. I don't want to give him any kind of mention. But we all know who he is. They had this guy in custody. He was on a terrorist watch list. They talked to him two or three times. They let him go. They released him from the terrorist watch list. He went and bought guns. If you're on a terrorist, the FBI, CIA, terrorist watch list, how in the hell can you go buy a gun or guns? They failed us. They failed us. The federal government failed us. Like I said before at the beginning of the show, I'm not blaming Obama for this. But the people who are working for him, those who are under him, like the FBI and the CIA, they failed Obama. They failed America. However, Obama will get blamed for this because he's the president. So they failed him. I mean, this is crazy. This is another failure. This is another failure of the United States. They were not ready for this. They were not looking for this. They were not anticipating this. Suddenly, the Orlando massacre hits them in the ass. And now they're running around with their tails hanging out, trying to explain to the American public why they dropped the ball on this. And we are not buying it. We are not buying it. All right, here's another clip from the shootings.
Hey, everybody. Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And I just wanted to record a quick video.
Oh, this is a guy. This is a guy. He is totally intrigued. He cannot stand gay people. And he's a pastor. He is a pastor. And this is what I've been tweeting. Pastors, ministers, all these people are nothing but jackass fakes. In these churches, these synagogues, these mosques, they are nothing but fake, fake, fake. This guy saying that the 50 people, the 49, 50 people, whatever you want to call it, the amount of people who died, it's actually 50 with the killer. He makes 50, but a lot of people are saying, well, no, he should be separate from the other people who died, so that now makes it 49. But some people around the United States are very, very happy that gays were targeted and killed because some of them say being gay is a sin against God. And here is one of those pastors right here. Listen to this, folks.
Hey, everybody. Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And I just wanted to record a quick video about the news this morning about the shooting in Orlando. I guess a Muslim terrorist went into a gay bar and shot him up. And there's 50 sodomites, homosexuals, that have been killed and another 50-some-odd injured. And then the Muslim guy himself was shot by the police, it sounds like. And here's the good news and the bad news about this. You know, the good news is that there's 50 less pedophiles in this world because, you know, these homosexuals are a bunch of disgusting perverts and pedophiles. That's who was a victim here, are a bunch of just disgusting homosexuals at a gay bar, okay? But the bad news is that this is now going to be used, I'm sure, to push for gun control where, you know, law-abiding normal Americans are not going to be allowed to have guns for self-defense. And then I'm sure it's also going to be used to push an agenda against so-called hate speech. So Bible-believing Christian preachers who preach what the Bible actually says about homosexuality, that it's vile, that it's disgusting, that they're reprobates, you know, we're going to be blamed. Like, oh, it's all extremism. It's not just the Muslims, it's the Christians. I'm sure that that's coming. I'm sure that people are going to start attacking, you know, Bible-believing Christians now because of what this guy did. Now, let me just be real clear. I've never advocated for violence. I don't believe in, you know, taking the law into our own hands. I would never go in and you know, shoot up a gay bar, so-called. I don't believe it's right for us to just be a vigilante. We're supposed to obey the law of the land and obey the powers that be. So I would never take things into my own hands or become a vigilante. But I will say this, you know, the Bible says that homosexuals should be put to death in Leviticus 20:13. Obviously, it's not right for somebody to just, you know, shoot up the place because that's not going through the proper channels. But these people all should have been killed anyway, but they should have been killed through the proper channels, as in they should have been executed by a righteous government that would have, you know, tried them, convicted them, and saw them executed, because in Leviticus 20:13, God's perfect law, he put the death penalty on murder, and he also put the death penalty on homosexuality. That's what the Bible says, plain and simple. And you know, the good news is that at least 50 of these pedophiles are not going to be harming children anymore. The bad news is that a lot of the homos in the bar are still alive, so they're going to continue to molest children and recruit people into their filthy homosexual lifestyle. And then the other bad news is that this is going to now be used as propaganda, not only against Muslims, but also against Christians. And of course, Islam is a wicked religion. Of course, it's a disgusting religion. Of course, the Quran is false. But the media makes a big deal out of stuff like this. And it's just, it's perfect. I mean, the devil loves this incident because it's perfect for him. Because now he can push his agenda of, oh, we need to love homos and stop being hateful because look at these acts of violence that are provoked. Even though I've never heard any Bible-believing Christian preacher say that we should take things into our own hands and execute the wicked. You know, all I preach and all that any other, you know, Bible preacher have ever said about it is that it should be against the law to be a homosexual, which it was against the law until 2003 in the U.S., and that, you know, Leviticus 20:13 is still God's word. So, anyway, those are my thoughts on this attack. I'm not sad about it. I'm not going to cry about it. Because these people were going to die, these 50 people in the gay bar that got shut up, they were going to die of AIDS and syphilis and whatever else. They were all going to die early anyway, because homosexuals have a 20-year shorter lifespan than normal people anyway. And, you know, at least these dangerous predators, these dangerous, filthy pedophiles at this gay bar, at least they're off the streets, you know. So I'm just trying to look on the bright side, you know. But again, you know, I don't condone vigilanteism. So anyway, I just wanted to give you my thoughts, and God bless you. Have a great day.
Wow. Now, that's a hater. That's a hater. And that's one of the haters who – there's one of many haters who is standing at the pulpit at your church, your pastor, your minister, talking that way, saying that they deserved what they've got. It should have been more killed. It should have been more and more and more, you know, because that's what it says in the Bible, some in the Bible somewhere, okay? And this is just awful, people. There's going to be plenty, plenty of hate around. And as I said before, this is not over. There's going to be more and more violence toward gay people, more and more violence toward black people, more and more violence towards Muslims. It's coming. It's here. We're not prepared for it. The United States is not prepared for it. Because if they were prepared for this, this would not have happened in Orlando. This would have not have happened. So a lot of us are just pissed off because, you know, it took the authorities two to three hours before they stormed. They were there on the scene, but they took them 2 or 3 hours before they stormed the Pulse nightclub to take this guy out. While he's doing, within those hours, he was shooting his ass off, killing people. People were lying there on the floor bleeding. If the police would have ram-stormed the place as soon as they got on the scene, we may have saved a lot more lives. We may have saved a lot more lives, because you think about the police not going inside immediately. That means that people are being shot on the floor. They're bleeding. They're bleeding. And if you could have got them out of there as soon as they were shot or they started bleeding, you may have had a chance of saving their lives. So therefore, in other words, a lot of the people who could have been saved inside that nightclub bled to death because there was nobody to take them up and out of the nightclub and put them in an ambulance with paramedics who knows how to stop the blood flow. This didn't happen. So I put a lot of this on the authorities. I put a lot of it on Obama. I put a lot of it on the FBI. If they would have done their jobs, this wouldn't have happened, or it wouldn't have been as bad or as much carnage. This is crazy. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Screwed, huh?